We're going to change it up a little bit from what we normally do in our typical order of things. And you'll find out why. You kind of figure out why we're going to do that in a little bit. But we're going to basically kind of follow up on a conversation we started a couple of weeks ago as we were talking about change. I mean, we're officially kind of moving on. We're going to talk about something other than just change. So don't worry. Change is all done. We don't have to worry about it anymore. You didn't laugh quite like you should have with that one. He attempted to take me serious about it. No, it's the question of, like, why do we gather here and now? And part of how we talked about it a couple weeks ago was, like, the world has changed, and that so much of what we do is kind of done digitally, and there's this kind of the divide between the real and the digital is kind of disappearing, and we have, you know, kind of an online everything and kind of a virtual everything. And so we asked the question, like, why do we still gather? Why not just have, like, church on demand, kind of like we have everything else on demand? And then you wouldn't have to get up on a Sunday morning or a Saturday night and just have a few select options. You could kind of just do church whenever you want it. Because after all, study after study has shown that the reason kind of people go to church, and the most important, you know, the biggest thing, that people like the music, but research continues to show that people show up to church because they want to hear from God's word, which is something that can be downloaded. The content can be watched later, can be watched whenever you want. In fact, we have several folks who, because they work on Sunday mornings, or if they're out of town, or a couple of people who've been really sick recently and not able to attend, they're ready and waiting for the YouTube upload to happen and, you know, let us know, like, when's it ready. So why even gather at all? I mean, why turn on the AC and spend a bunch of money cooling a place when we could just be in our homes, in our pajamas? I mean, it'd be a lot more convenient. You wouldn't have to get all dressed, put your makeup on, whatever you have to do, fight with the kids to get here. You could just, like, show up when you're ready, kick back in your recliner, put your feet up, hit, you know, the play button, hit the pause button whenever the phone rings or there's a distraction, and come back to it. It'd be a lot more convenient. You could rewind it when you want to stop and hear something else and write it down again. And you could just sing all by yourself. Because I know I've heard a few people who are like, well, you know, I like to sing, but I know I'm not all that great, so I have to sing kind of quietly, you know? And there's a few people we'd like to wish they took that advice. But no, I'm just kidding. But, like, you could just, in the privacy of your own home, you could sing as loud as you want, and it wouldn't matter, because God doesn't care if you're on key or off key, as long as you're giving him your best, right? It's just the rest of us who it's, you know, kind of distracting sometimes. But so you, in your own home, like, you could sing praise to God as loud as you want if you could just do it by yourself. Why do we have to gather? That's the question that we're going to attempt. We're not really going to attempt to answer it today, but I want us to do, what we're going to do today is, we're going to hopefully experience why this gathering is important. Like, what about church is not downloadable? The content is downloadable. You can get the message later on YouTube, totally downloadable. Is there something special that happens that you can't really experience virtually? So my friends, couple of pastors' friends and I, we have a kind of online forum where we kind of can bring, discuss some kind of pastor things and church things. And, you know, this issue of, like, online worship is a really big thing. So some churches, in their model of ministry, they're one of their worship services. They take the worship services, they rebroadcast them at times. They have pastors ready and ready there so that when people log in and they can watch the worship service, if they have prayer requests or want to be prayed for, they have a chat feature and there's a pastor there ready to pray with them online, which is kind of helps a little bit. And then they'll often say, you know, if you've accepted Christ, if you hit the button at the bottom here and they click the button and it connects them with the next steps they can take and some follow-up information, and they can kind of grow in their faith. And it's a good step. It's a pretty, you know, kind of strategic thing. And they say it kind of, it's an easy step for people who are just nervous about showing up in person, because it's a little, you know, it's, remember the first time you showed up at church, a brand new church, or you go to church on vacation. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's full of people I don't know, and I'm not sure. It's an easy entrance into it. So in this discussion, one of my friends asked, okay, so at the point of baptism, how would you do an online baptism? And another one of my friends immediately got online and he said, "You can't, it's impossible, it's not real." To which my friend, kind of just playing devil's advocate a little bit, said, "Okay, well, it's not real. So if a person has an affair online, but they never meet the person, but it's totally an online-only affair, does that mean an online-only affair is not a real affair?" No. It's very real. You ask the spouse who's been the victim of an online affair, and they'll tell you just how real it is. You're a pastor, counselor, you've worked with someone, encouraged someone who's been the victim of an online-only affair, you know that it is devastating, that it hurts, that it is very much real. So it caused us to stop and think. The line between real and virtual is a little bit gray, a little bit fuzzy. To which one person replied this very insightful comment and said, "Well, yes, an online-only affair is a real affair, but an online-only marriage is not a real marriage." So let's talk about what it is that is special, significant, unique about gathering live together. Because yes, you could download any of the songs we sing today, and you could sing it all by yourself. But something happens when 150 people gather in one place at one time singing the same song. Something happens that's more than just the sum of 150 individual voices rising up to God. When we become a choir together, something unique happens that just can't be replicated all on our own. Something special happens in that live experience. Something you can pray to God all by yourself, and you should. You should be praying to God regularly in your own quiet times. But when you come together and when we come together and pray together live in person, something special and unique happens. Prayer is one of those things that I struggle with. It's not easy for me to spend a lot of focused time in prayer. I get distracted so easy and I get so frustrated with myself. I hear stories of saints who say that they can just pray for an hour and the time passes like that and it's so easy to pray. And I'm like, man, that's just not my experience. I wish it was. I'm a little bit envious of those folks. But I found that when I gather with even just a few people, and I pray a little bit, someone else prays a little bit, someone else prays a little bit, and we just go to the Lord in prayer, that an hour of praying together passes quickly. Wednesday night, joined our prayer gathering. Lauren was there. One of the families from our Hispanic congregation was there. It was just a few of us. And I've met this family before, never really talked to them. But I tell you what, after an hour of praying together, and when some of them wanted to pray in Spanish and Lauren translated and then I could understand, we were praying together, I felt like I got to know them. Why? Because when you pour out your hearts to God together, I mean, there's just no better way to get to know somebody than to call on God together. That something special happens when we pray together. And so we're going to find some inspiration today in a story in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 12, if you want to follow along. And in this story, Herod is the king. He has been authorized by the Roman government to be the king over Jerusalem and the area surrounding there. And it's soon after Jesus, and so Jesus has been resurrected, ascended back into heaven, and there's some tension and conflict in Jerusalem, right? Like these Jesus followers, they're kind of causing, there's some tension between the Jesus followers and the Jewish leaders, and the Jewish leaders don't like the Jesus followers, and there's been some persecution. Stephen, the first martyr, he's been put to death by some of the Jewish leaders, and so there's some persecution happening, and there's a little bit of civil unrest in Jerusalem, and Herod doesn't want word to get to Rome that there's civil unrest, because then Rome might think that he's not doing his job, and he's a little bit nervous. And so Herod was a pretty manipulative leader anyways. And so what we find in the introduction to this story is that Herod had arrested James, the brother of John, one of the two original apostles, had persecuted him and had put him to death. And the story tells us that when he saw that this pleased the Jewish leaders, he had in mind to do the same to Peter also. He's going to get in good with the Jewish leaders. And they will help to calm, bring some peace and a calm. We're to go back to Rome that Herod's doing a good job. And Herod is going to show folks who the boss is. And so he arrests Peter. And so Acts chapter 12, verse 5 tells us this. So Peter was kept in prison. And Herod thought he was winning. Because he was in power. He was in control. But anytime you see that word in the Bible, you need to pay attention to what comes after it. It's something significant. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And as we're going to see later, it wasn't just like they sent out a quick text message and said, hey, Peter's in trouble, everybody pray. I mean, maybe they did. As they were gathering all together, what we're going to find here is the church gathers together and they pray and they pray and they pray because something special happens when Christians gather and pray together. Today, as I said, we're changing it up a bit. Because we have several issues, none that are kind of like Peter in prison kind of issues, but the weight of many of them are very, very heavy. And I think we as a church need to come together. I would love it if we as a church could have one of these, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him together experiences today. And so we're going to gather, and we're going to pray, we're going to get up, we're going to get out of our seats, we're going to move around. It's going to be different, and if today is your first day here, you need to make sure you come back next Sunday when maybe things are back to a little bit to normal. It'll still look like a castle, but, you know, that's pretty cool too, though. But today we're going to mix it up a little bit so that we can pray together. We're going to gather and pray together. The first thing that we think about that kind of motivates us into prayer is our belief that God is powerful. Like, why do we pray? We pray because we believe that God's not just like a spirit out there floating around somewhere, but that he is a God who has all the power he needs to do anything he chooses to do, that nothing is impossible for God, and that he cares about us and that he interacts with the world. And so he injects his power into human situations, in any of them, because he is in charge and he gives us some freedom, yes. But at any point, we find in Scripture that God says, I can override human freedom and do what I want in the world. And so we believe that he is a God of power, and as we pray, we call on his power. There's a little story in Scripture of a man whose daughter was ill, deathly ill. He comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, if you can do anything, would you make my daughter well? Jesus' response to him is like, if? And I don't think he tries to insult the guy, but that's his response. He's like, if I can do anything? And I think at that moment, the man was like, ooh, wrong choice of words, like Freudian slip. Oh, yeah. And Jesus says, nothing is impossible with God. And the guy responds, and one of the reasons we love this story is because we can connect, right? The guy's like, okay, you got me. You said, you have little faith. You're right, Jesus. I struggle to believe. That's why I said if. So then he changes his request in one of the most honest places of Scripture, and he says, Lord, help my unbelief. Now, in that moment, he's not saying, help me to believe the truth in my mind. He already believed that God was powerful and that God could do anything, but in the moment, in a situation, he was like, if. When he says, help my unbelief, he says, Lord, would you raise my confidence in you? Would you raise my faith and trust in you so that the word if does not come out of my mouth, but I simply call on your power and say, God, you are a God of power. God, you can do whatever you choose to do. So God, would you heal my daughter? I'm asking because I know you can. He says, Lord, raise my level of faith. See, one of the things that happens when we come in worship, I don't know if you noticed, but all the songs we sung earlier today, we kind of planned it this way, were songs that celebrated God's power. And I believe one of the things that happens when we sing is that the music isn't just kind of like preparing us and helping us to feel good and focusing our minds. I mean, it does all that. But hopefully as you were singing today, celebrating the power of God, that God was kind of like building up your faith and confidence, that when you sing it over, there's some power in repeating the truth. You say, God is powerful, God is powerful. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in us today. We read it in Scripture, we sing it in a song, and here's what happens. The truth that we believe in our head trickles down to our hearts and moves us to action and greater boldness and confidence that not only God can, but he does. So we're going to gather, we're going to pray. Here in just a couple of minutes, We're going to pray together, kind of for our first time today. And so in just a couple minutes, I'm going to ask our sister, Chris Weaver, to come and kneel here at the prayer altar. You may know that recently, Chris has been diagnosed with cancer, and that she is fighting that battle, and that she's undergone some radiation treatment so far, and is fighting the battle hard. And we praise God for medical advancements and the wisdom and knowledge that God gives doctors. And we pray that God, who is a God of power, will heal. So we're going to do what the Bible tells us, James chapter 5, verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Well, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and to anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Now I have to tell you, I don't understand all of how or why it works. I don't know why he says, you know, gather people and lay hands. It's not like, you know, like we have like some collective spiritual energy that zings through all of our bodies. And I don't think so, at least. I don't see I have any evidence of that in Scripture. I can't explain it all, but this is what he's told us to do. Gather, lay hands, anoint with oil. I'm not sure what it is about the oil, but God said to do it. And, you know, the funny thing is that when Christians have done this, they find that God works and heals and does great things. So we're just going to do that today, just as God has called us to gather and to pray. So why don't we do that? Chris, would you come on up here? Scott, I'm sure you'll come with her. You guys can just kneel right here. And then I'm going to invite whoever would like to. Whether you know Chris or not, that's all right. We're going to pray in faith. You just come and let's gather around and let's just lay hands on our sister. And then Don's going to come and he's going to anoint her with oil and he's going to pray. And all of us are going to pray together. So just gather around and, yeah, put a hand on her shoulder, put a hand on Scott's shoulder. And if you're a little farther back, just put a hand on the shoulder of the person in front of you. And here's what we're going to do. Don's going to be the one who prays out loud, but I want all of us to be praying together. And even if you're in your seats, that's okay. You still pray. Let's all of us together pray and ask God, who is a God of power and the God who heals, to bring his healing power to our sister Chris's body and totally, completely heal her of cancer today, okay? So let's pray that way. We're gathered around. Don, lead us in prayer today, would you? Let's continue to pray today. So, we said this week, we've worked really hard this week to create this incredible environment. And this, I mean, tomorrow morning, about 9 o'clock, we've just bumped over 200 kids registered and plus about another 100 or so adults registered. So we've got like a bunch of kids. We're looking at like 300 kids invading in this place tomorrow and each day this week for Vacation Bible School. Here's why we do Vacation Bible School, because we believe that kids matter to God and that at a young age, kids can say yes to Jesus. And then when kids say yes to Jesus at a young age, that it keeps them from so many bad decisions and so many, and just they help just begin to discover God's plan for their lives early on in their life, and that's a good thing. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray together. Bow your heads. Let's pray together now. Like we can and we do, we believe that God can and he does. He gets a hold of kids' hearts. So I want you to pray. And whether you see one child in your mind's eye or a church full of 300 kids, whatever you see, I want you to pray as you see. And I want you to just imagine children giving praise to a God they believe in. I want you to imagine children praying boldly to a God they believe in. I want you to imagine children saying yes to the invitation of forgiveness of their own sins and God has a plan for their lives. And you pray in that direction right now. You just pray for the children you're seeing even now. You pray that God will get a hold of their hearts and invade their lives and they'll follow him. God, thank you for the opportunity that we get to share your good news with hundreds of kids this week. And God, we want to be faithful, to be good stewards of this incredible opportunity, to be good stewards of their young, impressionable, sensitive hearts and minds. So Lord, I pray that you would whisper your truth and your love to each of their little hearts and minds. God, I pray that you would just come so close to them. God, I pray for all of our adult and youth volunteers. Lord, would you strengthen us with every ounce of strength we need to share and to love them and to care for them. Lord, give us extra amounts of patience and extra amounts of energy. And Lord, that every kid would have a great experience. We would just create a really great environment where they could hear from you, Lord Jesus, every child who comes into our building. Remind us to pray this week. God, we believe that you can. We believe that you do. Oh, God, get a hold of some hearts, we pray. In your name, amen. See, we believe that God is powerful, and that motivates us and pushes us to pray and to pray boldly and to pray confidently. Because the next thing we believe is not just that God is a God of power. I mean, lots of religions believe in a God who is powerful. But the God we read about in the Bible, he was consistent with how he used his power. And how he used his power was in a loving direction every single time. See, what we read about God is he's not only God of power, that he is a God of love. Listen to how Psalm 68 describes him. Sing to God, sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. Now, look at this. Look at this. A father to the fatherless. A defender of widows. That's God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious, they live in a sun-scorched land. When you, God, went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth shook, the heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai, before God of Israel. He's powerful, but look how he uses his power. You gave abundant showers, O God, and you refreshed your weary inheritance. Your people settled in the land, and from your bounty, God, you provided for the poor. Because he is a God of love, who loves and cares for every single one of us. And that whatever is your burden, whatever is the thing you're worried and concerned about today, that is, nothing is too insignificant for God Almighty, who is a God of love. So maybe you were thinking earlier, as we're praying over Chris, you're like, man, I've got my own burdens and challenges, and maybe it's not cancer, but it's weighing heavy on your heart today. Well, now we're going to give you the opportunity to be prayed for. So I'm going to invite our worship team to come on back. And this time, instead of singing songs about God's power, we're going to sing some songs about God's love. And I'm going to invite our pastors to come and just stand in the front here. And as we are singing, I'm going to invite you, if you have a need in your life, you have a prayer request, if there's any way that we can pray for you, pray over you, I'm going to invite you to come, even as we're singing. Just find any of our pastors here. Share with us just real briefly how we can be praying for you, and we will pray over you today. The band will lead us. Let's all stand together. So let's sing and let's seek the Lord. And if we can pray for you today, come on forward, find us. Let us pray for you today. Okay, here's something we can pray about all together. If you watch the news at all, if you're on Facebook at all, there's a pretty big cultural debate going on right now, this issue of immigration. And in one of the conversations I had this week, someone said, why isn't it that we're not being called to prayer about this? Like, could it be that God has the best opinion and the best way and some power to make things happen? Rather than sharing our own ignorant opinions, couldn't it be the best thing we can do is seek God together? Yes. How about we do that? Bow your heads with me. We believe in a God of power. Amen. He's really smart. Let's call on him today. You pray. You pray. You watched enough news, seen enough opinions to know how to pray. You pray. Pray for God to invade the hearts and minds of everyone who has power to affect change. We're told regularly in Scripture to pray for our leaders, to pray for those in authority. Let's do that. Pray today. God, we need your wisdom. We need your truth. Because no matter how close any of us is to the truth, without your full truth, Lord, we're missing out. So we pray. Pray for all of our leaders. Pray for those in a power, in places of power and authority, who are working hard to make change, to figure out what to do. God, I pray that you would speak so clearly to their hearts and minds. Lord, that policies written would be your policies. Lord, that everyone who hears from you would have the courage to do as you lead, Lord. Lord, would you give us the grace and the patience to have civil conversations? Lord, help us to control our tongues, to control our fingers with what we type. God, give us, all of us, your wisdom. Together, we pray. Pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. We pray for our world. We pray for every refugee around the world who's fleeing something. Lord, that they would sense your strong presence. God, we seek you, your power, your wisdom. More of you and a whole lot less of us, Lord. In your powerful name, we pray these things today. Amen. You can grab a seat. So, like I said, we're mixing things up today. We're just doing things way different, kind of weird. Today is, several months ago, we announced that Randy Mead is coming on staff as our full-time children's director. And so this week, now that he finished off his school year at Geyser Middle School, and this Wednesday was his first official day on the job as our youth director, and we welcomed him. The staff took him out to breakfast, had a little welcoming time, and gave him a little bit of some mostly wise words of wisdom. And well, you know, one of the things we do is when we have a brand new leader, we gather around them and pray and commission them as a leader. And we did that last night in our evening Saturday night worship service. And then I thought, you know, today, let's have the kids gather around him and let the kids pray over him and let the kids anoint him, because we believe that, you know, God listens to the prayers of kids as well. And I thought, well, how is that going to work? It would be kind of weird for all of us to get up, go downstairs, go past the security borders. That would be kind of weird. So what I did early in the service, when you all were in here singing, we were down there with the kids praying over Randy. And thankfully, well, the technology worked the first service. I hope it's going to work this time around. We got it on video because I wanted you to just be a part of our one church worship experience and to see what happened earlier down in the family center and be a part of it now, and you just pray right along with these kids, okay? So go ahead, check this out. Well, good morning, boys and girls. Having a good day so far?
Yeah!
Yeah. So a couple of months ago, we told you that Randy was going to come and he was going to be our official full-time children's director. Do you guys love Randy?
Yeah!
Yeah. So this last week, he finished up his year as a middle school math teacher, and now he is here at the church, and Wednesday was his first day to be like here every day, full time, and we are really excited too. So we have a tradition in the church where when people say yes to God's call and they come to a church and they start in a brand new ministry, that we like to pray over them and to commission them and ask God to bless them in their new ministry. And what we do is we gather around, we put a hand on their shoulder, and we all pray for them. So today, last night we prayed with the adults up in church, but today I thought I would like for the kids to do that and a couple of the kids to pray for Randy. So here's what we're going to do at this time. I'm going to invite Randy and Allison and their family, and they're going to come here and kneel at our prayer altar. And then I would like for our kids to come and gather around. Would you like to be one of the kids? Okay. And a couple of our kids
We're going to have the kids pray for Randy. And while they're praying, I want all of us to pray together. Okay, so yeah, come on over, gather around. And if you can't reach, you can just put your hand on the shoulder of the person like in front of you. There you go. We're all connected. All right, adults, you can gather in around too. And today we're going to pray. We're going to commission Randy and Allison and their family for the work that God has called them to. And so first of all, Amelia, you're going to be our first prayer, okay?
Dear Jesus, thank you for Daddy. I hope that he has a good day and that he will do a good job.
All right. Wedley?
I pray for Randy that he'll have a good day and that he'll do a good job and this will be a really good day for him.
All right. And
I pray for Randy to have an awesome time being our children's pastor and have a really good life.
And then finally, Brielle, you want to pray?
I pray that Randy will be blessed in this ministry.
And God, we thank you so much for Randy saying yes to your call in his life and that he gets to lead our children and our families. And Lord, we pray great blessings on his ministry and we just look forward to all of the wonderful things you are going to do through him and just pray that you'd be so close to him, strengthen him, give him wisdom and encouragement all the time. In the name of Jesus, we pray together. Amen.
Amen.
Good job, guys.
Yeah, we can celebrate that. So Peter was kept in prison. Herod thought he had won. He was going to show everybody who's in charge, who's in control, and who has power. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. That night, before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. I didn't put it up on the screen because I want you just to just let this story play out in your mind's eye. It's just incredible to watch it happen. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side. He woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said. The chains fell off of Peter's wrists. The angel then said to him, "Put on your clothes and your sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison. But he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they walked right through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself, and he said, "Now I know, without a doubt, that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches, from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many of the people had gathered, and they were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance. A servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it, and she exclaimed, "Peter's at the door!" Here's a group of faithful followers of Jesus, right? They've been praying, and they say to her, "You are out of your mind," they told her. Like, that's what it actually says. I didn't just put that in there to, like, add some drama and, like, mess with you. No, that's what it says. "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "Well, it must be his angel." Seriously, that's what it said. That's how great their faith was. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and they saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet, and he described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James, the other brothers and the sisters about this," he said, and then he left for another place. And they experienced the power of God, that the church prayed and the church prayed hard. And when the church was praying and praying hard, God worked and moved in a powerful way. What do we actually accomplish by showing up to church and having church together? It's more than just we get to sing a few songs and feel good about God and our faith. It's more than just our faith gets bolstered, even though that's part of it and that's important. But it's even more than that, that when God's people pray, God moves. And I don't understand all that, and I surely can't explain it because I don't know how and why God, who is powerful and can do anything he wants, like waits for us to pray, wants us to pray when he just doesn't do it. I can't understand it. The Bible doesn't even explain it, but I know that it's true, and the Bible tells us that it's true, and the stories of Christians over the centuries tell us that it's true. Some people would say, well, it's just coincidence. You prayed, and then, 50-50, sometimes the good things happen, and you just forgot about the times when it didn't happen. But as one follower of Jesus said, it was really great, he said, when I pray, coincidences happen, and when I don't, they don't. Affirming what God has told us, that when God's people pray, God moves. So what have we actually accomplished here today? We've moved the heart of God. And again, I can't explain it. It doesn't make rational sense to me. But it's what we experience. It's what God tells us. That we have the privilege of calling on God, and when we do, it moves the heart of God. We have done some work today. And we have prayed hard, and we've moved the heart of God. That's why we gather. That's why it's important for us to gather regularly, to pray regularly. And as things like this come up, as needs and issues come up, we're going to regularly gather. We're going to regularly gather and commission people for the work that God has called them to and affirm them as a church. In a couple of weeks, we have a team going to Mexico. The Sunday before then, we're going to gather, we're going to commission them to do the work that God has called them to do. Just regularly, we're going to gather around and do those things together that just cannot be done all by ourselves. A couple action points we can take today, okay? First of all, we do have Vacation Bible School coming up tomorrow. And so I want us to be praying not only today, but all through the week. And so I made some little prayer cards with all the kids who had pre-registered as of yesterday afternoon. And I just simply put their first name and their grade, so there's no personally identifying information. But if you would agree to pray tomorrow and each day this week, I want to give you the card with the name of one child. And I just think it would be awesome if we could affirm to parents that their kids are being prayed for. That someone is going to pray for their child to have a great experience with God this week at Vacation Bible School. So if you're willing to do that, when you go out today, right outside the doors, as you go out the doors of the sanctuary here, grab one of those cards, take that card home, and pray for that kid. The second action item you can take today is while we gather and we pray when we're in worship times, we also can and should be praying throughout the week, and that when we're scattered, we continue to pray together. And so one of our ministries here is our prayer chain. It's a group of people who have said, I will pray for the requests that are brought to the church. And so we take the prayer requests that you guys turn in on the connection cards, we put them out, and we type them up, and we email them to all the people in our prayer chain on Monday morning. Well, if you'd like to be on that prayer chain list and be able to receive those prayer requests, just take a connection card, make sure your name and your email address is on it, and just write us a note on there that says, like, put my name on the prayer chain. And then throughout the week, as requests come in, you don't have to wait until Sunday. People will call the church office, send us an email, and say, hey, please pray for me, for my friend, whatever the situation may be. We take that and we send that out immediately to our prayer chain. And some of you, if you would like to receive those requests, not so that you can just be in the know, it's not the church news line, it's the prayer chain saying, I will pray. Wouldn't it be great if our people knew that if you had a need and request, that we would send it out. And within the hour, you could have hundreds of people praying for you. Because when God's people pray, God moves and does great things. If you'd like to be a part of that, again, because you're willing to pray, just put that on your connection card, and then we'll go. All right, well, let's invite the worship team to come on up. We're going to close out our time together today. By the way, I do have one more action item that doesn't have anything to do with prayer. It does need to get done, though. We have several things that need to happen around the church, some furniture that needs to be moved and things that can be done really quickly afterwards. I'm going to have the list out in the lobby. And when you go, if you have about 15 minutes, you'd be willing to help out with some stuff. Come find me out in the lobby. I'll give you a job that you can do and we'll get those things done. Let's stand together today. And a part of our last closing song of worship, we'll have our ushers come in a minute. We'll have our time of offering, but we will also... The final element is we believe in a God of power, we believe in a God of love. And so the last thing we do is we just simply submit to his will and his way. It's the final element in a prayer. Because we know that we pray and we pray and we pray with boldness, but for some reason God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want Him to. And so, our final prayer is always, God, You are a God of all wisdom. You're wiser than I am. I call on You, and I submit to Your will and Your way, God. So as we sing this final song together, that's our prayer together today. That's our final prayer, Your will, Your way. So let's pass the offering plates, let's give, and let's sing this final prayer and then go live it today. Here we go. Lead us out, guys.